Welcome to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. We are back. I'm Johnny Fairplay. That's Lauren Pratt. That's Alex Priest. That is Matt the Beard Bischoff. And holy moly, it is a new episode. Now, I felt like we were getting the Fessy Josh fight based on last week's preview, and that was kind of bullshit because we kind of saw the same preview again for next week.
Yeah.
Did they forget that there was an episode in between that did not involve the Fessy and Josh fight?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I guess they decided they didn't want to fight soon. They were like, we're going to hold it off for a couple days and then come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that either. Like hyping something up at where you're like waiting for something big time to happen, like a cliffhanger on Survivor, like,
yeah.
Next week, someone's going to piss in the rice, and then it's
yeah,
like,
there's no way. There's no way they show that in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. It makes no sense to promote something. And then before that, I was paying attention to the previously on the challenge deal, and they're like, and the one girl was like doing like a handstand. She was upside down.
The house
like,
gets turned upside down.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I dug that.
Yeah, but yeah, with all that, it's something the challenge does a lot where like they'll have that, but like it's not going to come for a couple episodes. So, but like technically, what they did show us on the like next time on the challenge last week was the Casey part of it, of her saying she's done with Josh. But yeah, it's sort of like we get bits and pieces of it, and it's more like them thinking we're still building it up. And then
I'm okay with building it up, but they kind of just said last week, it's just like, hey, next week's the fight. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't.
Right. So, yeah.
It feels like next week is the fight. So we're good. So,
or the fight might not come until the finale. We just don't know anymore.
Oh, Jesus. Do not give me a reason to switch my loyalty back to Survivor.
Well, because, I heard you have to get a skull first before you can fight.
Oh, sweet. We gotta win to fight and run TJ's final. So, no, I thought this was a good episode. I feel like this was the relationship episode.
I think it's an important episode to have.
Is it?
Like, it can't just be challenge elimination all the time.
Okay. So this is about the interpersonal relationships that's happening throughout the house. So of some of your lesser characters.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone's kind of like wanting to hook up, it seems, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a lot of couples, and so I don't know if that's like normal in a house like this.
There's the challenge. Who was it? Tori or Anissa said it was the most couples they had seen.
It was Anissa. Yeah, Anissa was saying it was like the most she's ever seen in the house. And why doesn't she get any?
Well,
dot, dot, dot.
Well, at the beginning of the season, she had eyes on Jeremiah, but clearly Jeremiah chose somebody else.
Yeah, Jeremiah chose fucking Amber B. Bring it. Come on.
Like who doesn't?
Yeah, geez, I mean, Amber B, right here.
No, but I like it, and I think it was important to have this episode now because, like, the way this episode ends, if you put the show into like acts, feels like it's the end of Act One, where it's just like we're putting rookies in, we're gonna put rookies in. Next episode, now the veterans start fighting.
Okay.
I mean, this is also an episode of I'm very concerned of how fucking dumb humanity is and people. The fact that, like, there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers on this season that can't do – I do not know how to do math very well. People are just like, I thought it was hilarious. The one guy is like, his brain doesn't have enough – gigabytes left because he has all these songs in his head. Then someone's like, I never went to fucking high school. I was in the circus. I did all this shit.
I think a lot of that was the same person, Matt.
Yeah, a lot of that. It was all Gabo.
Well, there was a good amount of people that, like, they didn't need to say because we know their history and they're not good at
math. One third of this cast is dumb.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But they cannot have broken down that fraction for you.
Which gives us another confessional gold by Devin.
Oh, yeah.
Episode, he was fantastic. This confessional is on point, everything that he said.
He was slaying. As I said, I think this was, on the scale of high-end episodes or low-end. I think this is a low-end episode. Yeah. However, Devin's Confessional is on the high end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So it brings it up. All right. So, yeah. So getting back to where Matt brought us in on the previously on The House Turned Upside Down, that's Nelson and his chick, Berna, also referred to as Bertha by some of the mean girls, or I don't know.
Hey, they all called her Berna today.
Or also, also my friends. So, ooh, a little tea to start the episode with. Did you see Amanda said that? What did she say on her Insta stories that she was hooking up with Fessy in the house, and she caught Who's the one with the laugh?
Bettina.
She caught Bettina hooking up with Fessy. And then after the challenge was over, Michelle Fitzgerald and Fessy flew to each other's hometowns.
Ooh.
Wow.
I just don't get it.
So there's not a romance between the Romanian survivor. What's the, I forget his name. The mustache.
Emmanuel.
Guy. Yeah, Emmanuel. There, I guess there's nothing there.
Well, based on the preview for the season, it looked like Tori was hooking up with
Emmanuel. I was about to say, like, 2 minutes into this episode, you sort of understand why.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, Tori's sort of a shitty person.
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, so real quick. So they come back into the house. You know, Amber B is still a little frustrated with the situation from the lair, and rightfully so. And Anissa goes, you know, that's just how it is. And it's just like, is that how it is?
No, no. We've seen Anissa. Whenever Anissa, like, someone has the audacity to put Anissa into elimination before the final. How could you guys do this to me? I've been your friend this entire time.
Oh yeah, it's lifelong friendships, years wasted. I mean, it's a whole thing.
There's some receipts, Anissa.
Yeah, that's just how it is, Amber B. So pay attention. So so we see that Michelle left a love letter for Emmanuel. Oh, Michelle Fitzgerald is the best. But Tori's quick to pick up the scraps.
With everyone else.
The vultures were circling.
Well, she seems to be like, oh, is there an attractive person? Let me swing my way towards them. Like, the rumors are she was flirting with Ed while Ed was in a relationship as well. And, like,
yeah, that's
she obviously had her thing with Fessy while she was in, like, in between stuff with her fiance at the time and Jordan. So,
yeah, Amanda's not given us a whole lot quite yet this season, but her Instagram is. So, Amanda, keep it up. Keep spilling the tea. I am here for it. So, holy moly. So, and all, once again, all rumor and innuendo. We don't know that any, like, I mean, she could be crazy or disgruntled. Who knows?
Right.
Right. But I'm sipping what she's pouring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. I'll take a second cup.
So we have the sad story of Gabo's humble beginnings, and he's here to do the challenge for his – he needs the money for his family and sports cars.
And watches.
Oh, and watches.
And the party.
And the party.
That guy is so dumb.
I
know, but this guy is not going to do anything with the money responsible.
Well, you know what?
He's going to buy, spend it on day one.
He's going to have a good party. There's a pinata in his future. I know that. Yes. Yeah, there's a pinata and some Bitcoin of some, but not Bitcoin, like one of those other Bitcoins that have no future.
Exactly. But you know what? My opinion has changed on Gabo. I started the season hating him because I was like, he's absolutely wrong. Then I came to realization this episode, he is old school, the challenge. They weren't there just to be like, oh, I'm a competitor and all that. They're like, I'm here to get fucked up. I'm going to party. Hopefully I hook up with several people in this house.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, if I win money, then I get to do that more often.
Yeah, and I think he still thinks there's a chance with him and Ani. I still don't think he's figured that part out. which makes me so happy.
Like he's an idiot, but he's definitely a lovable idiot.
Very lovable idiot.
Yes.
Very rootable. I was excited to see how he went out. I think maybe, I said it earlier in the season, I don't think they were going to bring him back for a future one, but he might come back just because he does provide that entertainment. But Alex, you're right. He would have fit in more old school when they were at summer camp doing some of these challenges. Now it's actually real and intense.
Yeah, no, he's. I think he comes. I was rooting for him over Logan.
I think Logan's a little more like reserved, and yeah, not.
He's boring.
Like,
I mean, I like
he's
seeing
more
big
athletic, but like
I like seeing Big T happy. Yeah. But I mean, I think I'd rather make Big T happy. Put it out there. So yeah. So Josh wants an apology from Fessy. So that did not happen this episode. And apparently that's what leads to the fight, because this motherfucker's waiting 6 days to hear two words. Actually, he wants to hear, I'm sorry, I fucked up. You know, I'm willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like Josh has a reason to be upset. And Amber B does a little. But Amber B, like, I mean, they fucked you once. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, like, and I understand.
She
like,
tried. Yeah, God bless her for trying. I mean, I'm not going to fault her for trying, but like, maybe she shouldn't have. Obviously, shouldn't have. She shouldn't.
Yeah, and you know what? With her constantly complaining, like, I can understand why maybe she's not vibing well with some of the other people, or like the rookies or the vets, because they're like, okay, we get it. You don't like Fessy. Can we talk about something else?
Yeah, yeah. We don't really like Fessy either, but we don't talk about him, so we're good.
Matt, I want to get your perspective, because earlier on in the season, you said that you really enjoyed Fessy and Josh. Now, what is your perspective on them after seeing a couple episodes?
Honestly, I think Josh, I mean, when watching last episode, when he was getting all pissed off at the lair, wanting to start a fight, I never have seen that side of Josh, because I've seen a little bits and pieces from Big Brother, and I've met him at charity events, where he's very nice. And all I really recall him on Big Brother is like the guy like rattling a bunch of spoons back and forth. So
he's hands close.
Yes, or pans.
Spoon man, pan man, whatever. But you know, I was expecting like Fessy to be like way more bigger of an asshole based off of like him annihilating people in that like hall brawl shit and whatnot. But I don't know. I honestly like Josh kind of seems more like a drama queen. I mean, Fessy seems more just kind of laid back and not getting into the drama as much in his demeanor on this episode, at least.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I have felt in the past as though Josh is a drama queen. And like, you know, you saw what you saw last week, but I still back Josh's play on that. It's just look, man, I'm your fucking boy. It's four of us. Why are you fucking the four?
No, I agree with that. But then
and
I
four
also
is better than three. And two girls and two guys is better than fucking two and one of anything else.
But it right. seems like a lot of people are getting pissed off at Josh, though, because he's out with the, you know, like they it's raining and he's hugging that Amber chick. And kind of siding with her.
Oh, they're making fun of his. They're like they're out there crying like the Notebook and the Full House.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like,
just like good on him. I mean, and it ain't like Josh is fucking Amber B.
Yeah.
No. And also, it's like
he's a good dude.
Yeah. I like Josh, and he even said, you know, at home I have a big support system. I think that he's like a big family guy, and I don't blame him for being pissed, but the drama level. It's high in my opinion.
I'm cool. As I said, if I had that same drama level, if I'm protecting my friend, because that's how much friends mean to me.
Right.
So
right.
like that same drama and explosiveness on drunken bullshit at the fucking club or you know, in the kitchen after the fucking club. That shit's fucking like you're playing a game for $1 million. Check that shit.
Yeah. Right.
But what he did last week. I back it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Matt, the reason why you see like more people siding with Fessy than with Josh is like partly because of that, but more so like even though he is not a good partner to a lot of people, Fessy wins dailies
and is in power positions way more often than you'll find Josh. And also, if you're going to an elimination as a guy, you'd rather have Fetzy be on your good side than have Josh be on your good side, because you think you can take on Josh and beat him in an elimination, whereas you're a little more tentative when it comes to Fetzy because he's a little more well-rounded when it comes to those type of eliminations.
Gotcha. Right on.
Yeah. So, let's see. Salty Paul. How can the goof be the voice of reason in the PP Alliance? LOL. Hey, Josh isn't the goof this season. He was the, like, if Devin's not calling him the goof, I'm backing the play here.
Well, I still give Josh credit tonight, though, for what he did in the episode. Even though him and Casey did fight with each other, he finally said to himself, you know what? I'm playing this game for me. I want to win. I'm not playing for a group anymore. And I thought him going to Logan, having that conversation with him, bonding with him, could help him in the future, because Logan is a strong competitor and just won the elimination. So it might still be a good move for Josh.
But Logan doesn't listen. I mean, we'll get to Logan in a sec. So, I mean, yes and no. All right, so Nani and Casey agree with Fessy, and Tori's in that same room too, and she wasn't arguing. So I think they're wrong.
Oh yeah, they're all wrong. But like, you at the same time, like, if you like take your step back, you don't have your biases in there. Like, you can understand why Fessy's also upset, because in his mind, he thinks that Josh did blow up his spot, and like what? And they say off camera and on Twitter, everything that Amber wasn't a part of the alliance. She was never part of it for me. She was never a part of it for Casey. She shouldn't have been a part of it for you, Josh. So why are you doing all this? Just
and why didn't they just person? Tell her she wasn't a part of the fucking alliance? I mean, I get it that, you know, you don't.
Because they play scared.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't want someone coming guns blazing for you. But I mean, Jesus, I just feel at this point that, like, it's so, like, just fucking tell the girl you don't like her.
Or, like, it's also saying to, like, they don't understand that to Josh. That's you saying, you don't trust me to be able to control my partner to protect you guys.
Yeah. So that's a slap in the, Josh sees it as a slap in the face to himself. And as I said, I think he's genuinely a good dude. I mean, like, you know, me and Matt have hung out with him. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he right. is very, very fucking cool.
I mean, like, you know, like, he was at charity events that weren't based on just getting fucked up and having fun. He was at a charity event based on charity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if a person's doing that, they're a good person.
And a lot of people, like, that's the thing with the perception of people watching these TV shows is, like, we were joking around. Zach Hacker was like, there's no way Memphis fucking Garrett was cool guy. But Johnny and I go to some events and we see people in just a chill environment, not in the stressful scenario that is reality television. And when you see someone just like hanging out in your backyard barbecue, most of these people are cool as fuck. It's like all of us are very competitive. Otherwise, we wouldn't try out for reality shows. So, you know, everyone's like has opinions about Johnny Fairplay. The guy's a fucking dick, or, oh, that asshole, fuck, if I tell people, yeah, I do a podcast, right? That's the guy that lied about his grandma. Well, it's like, yeah, that is. But that was Johnny's specific way of being a villain on TV. If you know the real Johnny Fairplay hanging out. Now, I'm not saying you're a fucking angel. You like menage a trois and all that kind of Cornelius stuff, but
hey, all good things think I'm pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that band, yes. Yes,
how crazy
yes.
is that?
That's cool, man. They're
playing Blue Ridge Rock Fest tomorrow, and they've been closing their shows. They do a cover of Survivor, and they're bringing me up on stage tomorrow.
Dude, that's sweet. I can't wait to see
how random is that.
That's super random, man. Yeah, so. That's awesome. But yeah, I mean. Really Josh, real life, cool guy. And and I don't think he's a bad guy in this. It's the challenges seems like really intense. And
it's a pressure cooker.
And I don't know all the backstories of these people's game before, right? So it's like, imagine if Johnny Fairplay played Survivor with Rupert and Lil like five times in a row. Like, there'd be a lot of boiling shit going on.
Right. And yeah. Like at the end of the day,
it's a like, horrible visual, boiling shit. Yuck.
Witch's cauldron with boiling shit.
You're the worst cook ever.
Oh, no, but yeah, at the end of the day, like the challenge, Survivor, like really all reality TV, like if we're the viewer, like we only see a fraction of what everything that happens on when they're on set. Right. They don't show everything. We don't see every single piece of information. And some things that are left on the table more often than not are actually very important information, but that doesn't fit what they're trying to show us as a TV product.
Right, right.
All right, so let's see. Oh, I just said, Casey, if you don't trust Amber, just tell her or shoot your shot and don't miss. Guess what? They missed. All right, relationships everywhere. We got Big T and Logan. We have Nelson and Berna.
Yep.
We have Emmanuel, and it looks like he was playing around with Tori. Amber B and what, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And Kyle and Devin. So I
I shipped them the most out of all of those.
Yeah, Kyle and Devin's the best pairing, 100%.
Yeah, well, they didn't choose each other. They're just both dickheads. They ended up being best friends. So, there we go. So so we learned that Huey and Nani are happy, but are they?
I think Nani's just saying what he wants to hear.
I think so, too, because she seemed very actively rooting for Gabo and then not upset when Logan makes the makes the steal.
Yeah, I love Huey, but Huey's great TV. Huey's great for the challenge. He's also an old school challenge type of casting.
Holy moly. He is his own worst enemy, huh?
I love it. I love it.
I mean, I love it too for television, but I don't love it for Huey. I'm tapping out on you. I want to watch Huey and he can hang out as long as he wants, but I am not hitching my wagon to that train.
I would never have him as a partner. Absolutely not. But him and Emmy together is going to be TV gold. I cannot wait to see what happens with them in any type of competition.
They both go home.
Well, yeah, but like I'm hitching my wagon.
He's going to blow them both.
Yeah, but I'm hitching my wagon on Huey to come back.
You know who Huey reminds me of, Johnny, and you guys? You guys are Big Brother fans, right? So who is the guy from Memphis this season? It was a gay dude. He had curly hair. He was like, he reminds me of Huey. I forget what his name was. It was
Kevin.
I think it was Kevin. Let me look. Kevin from Big Brother. He reminds me kind of
All Stars though. Are you talking All Stars?
The Big Brother with Memphis and Christmas and all that.
Yeah, that was Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. He's Kevin-esque in certain aspects, but
I was really hoping you're gonna say JC.
No, I
thought that's where he was going at first, though, but I was not sure.
Who's JC? Was he on that? I forget.
No. JC would never be an all-star.
Okay. He's a little person. I think you met him at Hearts Reality.
I did. Okay, I probably did. Oh yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He's the one with the thick accent.
Yes.
Matt's met JC.
I have.
He loves to twerk.
Oh yeah.
He would not stop twerking.
I do not need to see.
A little person twerk.
There's not even a little. I do not need to see a male person twerk. And then, yeah, I mean, it just, I always feel guilty laughing, dude, because it's just something that you shouldn't fucking see.
Like,
he's kind of got a fucking, he's kind of got like a big fucking bubble butt, too. Which is perfect for fucking twerking. But yeah. Huey, dude, like, I didn't get that. I've been enjoying his like craziness in the challenges where he's like totally freaked out. But tonight, he's just a real animated guy, right? Yeah. He's just like a character, beyond characters. So I like him for TV.
Do you think he's bipolar? Maybe not clinically diagnosed bipolar, but bipolar tendencies, because he just switches.
He's Josh-esque, but like even more amped up than Josh can get.
Because like he's just someone who I feel is just extremely passionate and has like his ideas of who he is. And once there's like an ounce of him thinking that he's being disrespected or like judged, he's like, nope. Nope. Like that. Yeah, he bursts through the roof and just like, I'm going to kill everyone right now.
I'm changing this edit immediately. You will not think I'm weak. You will think I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah, I think he just has no on-off switch. Like once Huey goes into full-on Huey mode, he can't tone it down. Is he just so passionate that it just he goes to the point of no return? You know what I mean? Yeah.
As I said, I like him, but I he is not my winner pick.
No. I don't even think he's the type of person either, though, that says, oh my gosh, there's a camera around. I have to do all these antics and everything. I think that's just him.
I don't necessarily think it's the edit. I just think it's just the room. If the room is like, we don't love Huey and we don't respect Huey fully, it's just like, nope, I'm correcting this right now. You do love me. You do respect me. Let's go.
Right.
It's just like, ooh, all right. Well, I also have another opinion.
No, you don't.
Oh my god.
So let's see. What's the name of the daily?
It's called Minefield.
Okay. That's so, where did they come up with that?
I think they just put the word mind and field together and there you go.
I think this is their second season doing a spy theme challenge and they are running out of ideas.
So oh, there we go. Like, that's oh, what
they're doing
like.
Puzzles in a field. Oh, yeah. Minefield.
Well, they could have involved mud or something in the title, like a little, be a little bit more creative with it.
That I think they could have called it Dislocate Your Shoulder Challenge.
Oh, they could have. So it's puzzle pieces, a cargo net, math problems, a wall, and a bomb.
Mm-hmm. The wall is gnarly. I will give it that.
Well, not for Emmanuel or Fessy.
True. Well, I mean,
Emmanuel was Spider-Man, and Fessy literally just jumped over it.
Mm-hmm. I know. But going underneath, like we always joke around, the over something, under something. Yeah. You got to do the fucking crawl underneath through the mud. You could definitely see, I mean, even though these people are extreme athletes, like everyone's like a fucking badass. It looks like it took a toll on people's, you know what I mean? People are slowing down and like, man, like just like having to go get a puzzle piece and just toss it in front of you. And it looked like it was a grueling challenge.
Honestly, yeah. I thought they were more mentally fatigued than physically fatigued. Mm-hmm. Having to divide something by two was extremely difficult.
There you go. So I will say the outfits for this challenge just served as a reminder to the viewers. This is a great looking cast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone's fit and buff
and good looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, kudos. Emmanuel killed it. Anissa explains to us that that Logan is a valued part of the partnership. Of that partnership, I feel that he is the most valued part.
Like she would be good at the puzzle part if she was able to like not get hurt. I feel like she could have been valuable for them at that point. Because she is one of the people that are better at the puzzles and at math. Sure.
Being
better at math isn't a huge compliment because it just means you're able to do what a middle schooler can do. But
yeah, no, that, like that. Yeah, I. Yep.
But honestly, if she didn't get hurt and they were able to get to that point, Alex is right. They might have been able to finish because she is good at that portion of it. It just takes her a little bit longer to collect the puzzle pieces because you saw people that were out of the gate quickly with puzzle pieces, but they weren't the ones to be able to figure out the math, so they got stuck.
Yeah. So, well, we learned from CT that Berna took circus and not math in school.
And he is pissed.
He was. He just kept getting madder and madder in each confessional.
He's just like
I think he was like, we fucking, like he's talking to the fucking, the camera guy or producer. It's just like, yeah, I was fucking there. Fucking, like... you've already grasped how fucking pissed off I was. And they're like, just two more.
Just like, so, how can you not add or subtract? Come on, just get there. Let me do my thing.
Yes. Gabo didn't finish high school. I don't really feel that that was a revelation of any kind. But Devin explains that one third of the cast can't divide by two. And I think they would have trouble with figuring out that equation. So going to the commercial, Anissa's shoulders out. Oh, no. Then I'm looking at Esther is cute as fuck. Just wonder if I can throw that out there. Esther. Yes. Oh, my. Esther gets cuter every week. I mean, I think she gets, I think it's the confidence and I don't know.
I'm you don't see a lot of confident rookies. And
Johnny's always in love with somebody.
I know. I mean, what? I'm just supposed to watch a show and hate everyone?
We need to do like a little portion here who Johnny ranks like in order based on the people that are on the season. Because I think every single episode, it changes with who he has. Well,
I like spread the love for the record. But number one each and every week, and know this, Ashley Millionaire Mitchell is number one.
You just haven't talked about her enough tonight, so I was unsure if you were going to slot someone else into her spot.
She's lived all over the place. She's lived, you know, like she's in Texas now, but she's from West Virginia. You can't take the West Virginia out of the girl. And so she's as Devin says, he was born in mud, and TJ agrees because he's a pig.
Oh, that was Devin. I thought it was Kyle.
I think it's Devin.
Dial. Let's just split.
Okay, it was Dial. So yeah. we're covered either way. Dial. So anyway, so we're back from the commercial, and CT and Berna on the puzzle. Gabo and this is probably Devin's best line. Gabo and Emmy look like they have murdered people in their past. However, that does not make them the best pair. I think Gabo and Emmy do look like they may have murdered people in their past. Yes. I didn't think about it beforehand. I'm just like, no, I could see it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see it.
I don't think there's anyone else on this cast I could say I think possibly could have killed someone.
Right. Yeah.
But those two, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we're about to do, you know, the season 41 where the Luvu cast assessment after this, and I don't think anyone's killed anyone on that cast. Wow. But you know, we've had 40 other people on this cast. I feel that we're pretty safe, homicide free. But no, Gabo and Emmy, yep. I mean, like not like something like really like horrible, but like jab you with a shank when they're walking past you somewhere.
Cause you looked at them wrong or something. They just like pull it out.
Just something, you know, like you owe $50 to somebody. I don't know. I just feel so, yeah. So CT and Berna win. Why? Because CT is the, Matt, have you figured out that CT's good at puzzles yet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yep. Killing it.
Would you guys say this was like the most Survivor-esque like competition they've done so far?
It was very Survivor-esque.
Yeah.
But we don't have math problems.
But no. Like you could like take away the math problem and be like the combination line.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I mean, I feel like we have a more clever way of doing something that's part mental versus they just do math. I mean, like it's like, you know, I didn't watch the challenge for years and I came and I'm just like, why are they doing math? Like, what the fuck? Like, what is this, junior high? Why are they doing math?
Survivor people do math on like day, like towards like the back end.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see math on any. I don't want to see math on fucking Double Dare. Mm-hmm. I don't like. I'm not watching fucking reality competition shows for fucking math.
Guy, yeah. Hit those demos.
Yeah. No, with the math demo,
the kids.
Yeah, well, Berna's fun. Berna's family's fast forwarding through that bullshit. So, all right. So, with that, we are winners of the daily is CT and Berna, and let's hear
real quick from our sponsors.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their 4th generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4,000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'm like, I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream, a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you, Magic Spoon. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I have a full belly with low carbs and shaved up pubes. I'm a happy man. Oh, real quick, speaking of all those things, actually possibly unrelated, I don't know. I do a self-help podcast with my good friend Kendall Ratliff, and that's completely unrelated. And we had Sarah Rice from The Challenge. She is no longer doing The Challenge, but she is helping the reality television community for those that have had difficulty after reality TV and reintegrating their lives back into society and some of the heat that comes with it on social media and other things. And she also, you know, helps, you know, families and other people. But really awesome conversation. And if you go to youtube.com/realitynsfw, you can see, just scroll down to the Help NSFW tabs. And Kendall and I do a new podcast every 2 weeks. So this one just dropped today. So check it out. So if you just want the audio, go to helpnsfw.com for just the audio. So, but we're back at the house, and they come back into the house clean. Did you notice how muddy they were? They get, like, I'm like, what, they hose them off before they let them in the let them go in the house?
Mm-hmm. You're asking, probably.
Apparently. So Logan wants to beat Gabo. He thinks that's an easy win. And Josh is like, yeah, all that's well and good. Don't volunteer, dude. You know, maybe no one's looking for you.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I really want Gabo. He's like, great. Shut up. Well, that was good advice. So Anissa comes back. Her shoulder is dislocated, but it will not stop her from being on 13 more seasons. So, all right.
The thing with the shoulder statement made me so sad to hear.
Did it?
Yes. I'm like, just go. I don't want to see you anymore. You don't bring any value to the season. You're not funny anymore. You maybe have one good joke in a season. You just sit there, and then you can't run a final. And if you do run a final, you come in last. So why try?
Because then we would miss out on the Tori and Anissa moments.
You know what? They can both go.
How about we have the Tori and Anissa moments on their fucking podcast?
Yeah, they're going to be on the podcast just like sucking each other off for an hour.
Alex,
you're never the mean one. You're always very nice.
Yeah. Alex, you want to help with the Survivor podcast so I don't have to be quite as mean after this?
I don't know enough shit to do that.
I don't either.
But yeah, I mean, getting your shoulder popped out, like so many BMXers that I know, I've been at many events where it's like, once you pop your shoulder out one time, it pops out very easily, like thereafter. So it's like, pop your shoulder out. Most BMXers, like TJ Levin, oh, pop it back in. I'm good to go for the rest of the fucking time. So it's like, I'm curious why that shoulder injury became such an ordeal. You know what I mean? Because typically you pop the shoulder back in and you're fine.
Yeah.
It's just like a dislocation.
Well, yeah. Nicole, I think, was it Nicole last season that went for a shoulder though too?
Yep.
But she had, it was more than just a dislocation for her. I think there was like muscle and ligament issues.
Okay.
Like I've seen so many people with a popped out shoulder that they are able to just like
pop back in and they're ready to go.
Stephanie from Survivor, they popped her shoulder right back in and she was good to go.
Usually, I mean, I literally, Dave Mira, who also used to host the challenge back in the day, God rest his soul, but I've been at a contest. It was probably 1995 and he's riding the big half pipe, crashes, his shoulder pops out and he's like, somebody pop my shoulder, pop my shoulder, and popped it back in. And then he fucking finishes his fucking run. And he just goes on with the contest. He's like, he had to get it popped back in.
Well, Anissa isn't Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, Murdoch or whatever.
But I mean, like, another reason not to have her back in. Like, if you're supposed to be the fifth major sport and have, like, athletes, like, every athlete who's had their, like, shoulder popped out, get it popped back in. It's sore for a day and they're back in. It's my mission now.
put it this way. I think Michelle Fitzgerald pops her fucking shoulder out. Or, Tommy Sheehan or many others, they're going to just pop it back in and go back to town. But,
well, Tommy Sheehan, he didn't pop his brain back into place.
Yeah, I know. That's a different story. Concussions are a fucking... That was, you know, dangerous.
Well, wait a second. I have a problem here. Lethal Weapon's a great Christmas movie, by the way. This isn't Die Hard.
Die Hard, yes. Die Hard's good. No Hype Network is coming in clutch with some comments tonight.
It's just easy to jump on the Alex bandwagon. I mean, it's like if Fairplay can't make a Survivor reference, he's fucking worthless. Matt doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Lauren skipped last week.
All right. Enough of that.
Lauren's like, oh, next episode is mine.
Hey, Alex had to steal some of my thunder. I'm normally very hard on Fessy and Josh. I've been nice this season.
I think they've made it easy to be nice. Fessy will give you some ammunition here in a little bit. All right. So they go to the club and Ed dances. Oh, is this the only thing that can give Ed airtime is dancing? And then thank you, Emmanuel, for saying, yeah, he's not really a good dancer.
Yeah. I put that down too. I was just like, Emmanuel's just looking at him and feeling like disgusted.
I want to ask you guys. So first I'm going to ask you, Johnny Fairplay, are you a dancer like high school? Let's say you went stag to homecoming. Are you the guy that's like fucking doing moves or are you just like kicking back?
I remember in junior high, we had this nightclub called Miami's and they had like, you know, teen night or whatever. And in junior high, I fucking bought like this, I had some like Bugle Boy pants and some fucking button up shirt and a fucking vest, you know, with the satin back. Yeah. And I learned to dance to Wild Wild West How You Like Me Now, like Kumo D. Yeah. And I entered the dance contest.
So do you dance now? Like if there's like a wedding, are you dancing or no?
Yeah, but
I'm not a dancer.
I'm a lot of dick thrusts these days. That's my go-to.
So what about you, Lauren? Are you dancing? Like, are you just like the typical like white girl at a wedding that just does the fucking certain fucking typical moves? You know what I mean? Or are you fucking dropping it like it's hot, fucking twerking and booty clapping like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion?
Matt, what do you think is the correct answer to that question?
I say you're fucking like sitting on a bench, like watching every other person dance.
Watching all the dumbasses.
Yeah, and
no, I'm a terrible dancer, but I'm not afraid to get out there and give it a go because at least I know I'm bad. Some people don't realize that they're really bad at dancing and think they're good and everyone's just sitting in the corner laughing at them. So I can admit that I'm bad. But Alex, on the other hand, has some moves.
Oh,
I haven't seen any of that. So how can you talk about that? But yes, I know I'm a bad dancer. I would rank myself closer to an Ed than a Emmanuel, but I don't care that I'm a bad dancer. I will get a drink in my hand, go onto the dance floor and party it up because that's what I'm there for. I'm not there to just sit down and do nothing.
That's good. I give you props for that because I tell you what, My wedding, my friend DJ'd. We didn't spend a lot of money on, you know, fancy Johnny Fairplay type DJs that are $2,000 an hour.
wow, I didn't know that I'm $2,000 an hour. Thank you. I would like everyone to meet my agent, Matt Bischoff.
That's right. That's
booking
right.
Me for all my DJ gigs.
Fuck yeah. But I just, I wasn't a big dancer. But I give props to people. That's why I was curious to like the style of you guys. I see Johnny Fairplay in his heyday, like back when you were like younger, like pre Survivor. Oh, just yeah. Like trying to like mac on bitches and shit.
Oh yeah. Well, now post Survivor, I remember being at what was that club? It wasn't Joseph. Anyway, there was some hot fucking club at one time in LA. You know, that last, you know, couple months or whatever, and it was me Jane Fonda by Mickey Avalon comes on. The DJ spins Jane Fonda by Mickey Avalon. I love that song. And I was like, holy shit. And I look, you know, to my right, and the guy beside me looks to his left. He's like, holy shit. And it's Nick Lachey. And we're like battle dancing to fucking Jane Fonda. And I was just like, all right, this is a moment.
Yeah. Everyone's got a dancing story. That's fucking good shit, man.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Nick Lachey is my dancing arch enemy. Who would have guessed? So Gabo explains that he wants Nani back. Logan is like when Josh tells Logan to keep the fact that he wants into himself. We learn from Devin that hey, I hear Logan wants in. So tell everyone that Logan wants in, and then the vets are like they're just like. How stupid are these rookies?
Like, I think they beat that mentality into them where they're just
I think they did too.
I'm supposed to go in.
Yep.
It is my time. But I will say, before we continue with the Logan part of it, Emmy did have a good line by saying that in confessional where she goes like, Gabo just wants to have his baby Nani back. And you know what? Let him.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
go fly away. Be yeah. far away yeah. from me.
So, I mean, I felt like that. I guess that's what made Double Agents different last season because I felt like the rookies had a backbone.
They had a backbone, but it was like they had more of a purpose to figure out when to go down than not. And the issue is all these rookies who haven't seen the challenge, they all watched Double Agents.
They think they need their skull.
Yeah, they think like it's like they're supposed to go down there. Yeah. Where in reality, besides those two fucking seasons, the whole point's to avoid it. But they're all just like, well, we didn't strategize when we had the competent rookies in, so we're just gonna...
Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, we're just gonna fight and hope we get a strong partner, even though they can still pick us to go down to elimination, even though I have this strong partner.
Yeah, and Kyle laughing. Kyle's like, there's no skulls! Like, these guys are stupid.
Kyle's just sitting back having the time of his life right now.
Kyle looks bigger than he has in any previous season. Have you noticed that? Yeah. I mean, like, we see Fessy work. I mean, we see most of the house working out, and we do not see Kyle working out. But I feel like Kyle entered the house bigger than he has been.
Yeah, I think he does a lot more of that stuff, like, during his off season.
I think so. I think he gets there. He's just like, fuck, I worked out enough. I'm going to kill myself during these fucking challenges. I'm good.
Right.
And he's not even killing himself during these challenges.
Yeah. No. He's just been chilling so far this season, but hey, we get Kyle on our screens and that's the most important thing for me.
Mm-hmm. All right. No Hype Network says, I hope MTV loses Emmy's number. I feel like I'm with No Hype Network on. I don't think I like Emmy.
I don't think a lot of people like her, but I don't think they're losing her number.
Okay.
Like they're constantly peppering her in. Obviously, she's connected to the storyline so far in each episode, but like at some point, they're going to keep having her on there. Be like, okay, we can bring her back for another season.
Yeah,
but compared to the other rookie girls, I mean, we barely see anything from Priscilla. We know nothing about her.
We get confessionals from her. That's it.
Yeah, but we just...
Barely.
We barely get anything from her. We barely got anything when Tracy was on. I'm just saying at least Emmy does bring some type of storyline. Yeah, she's annoying, of course, but we've seen them bring back annoying people in the past.
Who's Tracy? Like, Bettina could have had a storyline, but like they're hiding her storyline.
Yeah, Johnny, there was a Tracy on the season. She's no longer with us.
Like she passed away or she's on the show?
She's off the show.
She's off the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I apparently don't follow her social media, so I didn't know.
Like really the bright star of the women rookies you would have to say would be Esther and then Berna.
Esther, Berna, and Big T.
Well, Big T's not a rookie.
According to the bet, she was
part of the rookies, and she was a part of one of the rookies tonight.
Yeah. she was attached to one of the rookies.
Like an octopus, apparently.
All right. So, Logan and Big T, we learned that Logan is good with his hands. Mm-hmm. And what was Big T good?
She was good at being an octopus.
Good at being an octopus. So, and then I just have out of nowhere Kyle's teeth.
They're their own storyline.
Holy moly. I mean, Nani's teeth are right there, but Kyle's teeth trumps everyone's teeth.
Yes. Yeah.
Nani's one of those beautiful women on the planet, but I get a little bit of Brian Griffin, you know, when Brian got the
big teeth,
the Lumineers or whatever. So, but hey, she's beautiful. All right. So Casey and Josh, Casey says good luck to Josh and that's it. We shall see if that holds up. I'm for it. So, you know, we'll see. Time for deliberation and, you know, we have, you know, Logan's like, I'm in. CT's just like, you know, here's the deal. You're going to use Gabo, you know, and then Bessie for no reason goes, look, everyone's playing a straightforward game here.
Like, yeah. I love how, like, he originally says it, and what he's saying is correct at first. He says, CT's game, it wouldn't benefit him to say what he's going to do and then go against it. He's a very straightforward guy, and then goes, I think we've all been playing a straightforward game.
That's where my annoyance comes in. If I'm Amber B, I would have called him out on it, too, because I'm not going to just sit there as a player and be like, excuse me,
that is exactly... She was standing beside him.
Yeah,
like I'm just like the gall of him to say that with her right beside him.
Yeah,
and you notice how they kind of have Bessie and Josh separated where they've been together.
Yeah, like if Glaring could kill someone, Bessie'd be dead.
Wow, I just thought that's so great. Other than me completely blindsiding you last week and fucking over my best friend in the house, but otherwise, pretty straightforward game.
As he is with every season.
Yes, Bessie is messy. So Huey explodes. That was crazy. So we learned that our compromised agents are Logan and Anissa. Anissa's not there. So it's time for the lair. And
wait, before we get to the lair, I love how Gabo's way of getting ready is, let me put all this cologne on before I go to compete.
Smart. Or
he wanted to smell it when he got back to Nani.
Do you use cologne, Johnny Fairplay? Because honestly, like I have not put cologne on since probably high school.
Well, I was about to say Axe body spray is not cologne. So
no, dude. I used to like so back Johnny when I was in high school. We would go to like it was called Lazarus at the time, which is now Macy's. It used to be called Lazarus here in Ohio, at least. So. They would have these little vials of Polo cologne and Drakkar Noir. They were like the
samples.
The samples. They were in like a little glass tube.
Yeah, yeah.
Little vial. So I would just fucking always go and raid the fucking cologne thing. And this is probably like
Drakkar Noir. What are you fucking Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Yeah, but this is like junior high. But I seriously, that's my last. That's my last memories of cologne. I wear fucking deodorant, but that's it. I don't put anything on. Maybe a little ball deodorant here and there if I know Tessa's, you know, going to blow me or whatever after my band plays and she's all hot and bothered. But cologne, nah, don't use it.
And for those of you that are new to the show, Tessa is Matt's dog's name.
it's actually Rosie's my dog.
But Tessa would be his wife. just wanted to free, like, have someone go like driving, just fucking.
Well, it's funny. I always have a picture of Tessa on this is from a long time ago.
But I have that same one here.
I have this picture. I just have it set there. And one time I took a picture, like I'll be like, you know, in the middle of a podcast, I'll like take a picture and post like, hey, doing a podcast. And I've had people be like, I don't care about your podcast, but show me a close up of that picture that's on your fucking desk. And I'm like, the fuck you talking about? Cause I got the fucking, my Dukes of Hazzard car here. I mean, I'm not, you know, I was a kid and this is a fucking toy. Has nothing to do with the flag. I got my old school Walkman. I got the fucking Johnny Fairplay and Matt Bischoff, which are these still available, Johnny?
Yeah, I think we have two of each left.
So there's for those that don't know, Johnny Fairplay and I have a fucking doll of
a wrestling buddy. We have wrestling buddies. We have a Matt Bischoff wrestling buddy. And if you're watching, you can see them. If you're listening.
If you're watching on YouTube, so if you're listening, go to YouTube and watch. They're fucking killer. And my mom
at the 1 hour mark, you can see them. And so, yeah, they're 55 with shipping.
Yeah. Which is, it's a fucking killer deal. If you're a fan of our podcast and
you can put holes in it wherever you want.
You can.
My mat has three holes.
The glory hole. But I got all kinds of trinkets. So like when we started doing the podcast, I didn't have a studio. So my friend helped me build in my basement this whole fucking area. And if you're watching on YouTube again, I have an oil painting of my wife up there. Fucking some beard shit.
Did you see that? That Alice in Chains thing my friend painted?
I did.
Are you getting the original, or are you just getting
printed? Fuck, dude, no. But I'm gonna see what's going on, but I want to order a print of it.
Yeah, and it does the black light shit too.
I know, dude, and it's sick because it's a picture of Lane Staley from the CSRO. It's a picture of him in the CSRO video, but it's also like facelift-esque. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to get one for sure. I was fucking pumped on that. And a lot of Alice, just so people know, like Johnny's friends with this artist that does a lot of really fucking cool painting. So she's done a lot of Seattle grunge musicians. And Lane Staley, the singer from Alice James, my favorite singer of all times. She just did a fucking portrait of him, and that's what we're discussing. So yeah, killer.
I think I can get it up on the screen real quick.
Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube, you guys, which we have obviously the audio version of the podcast and the video version, which you get to see our fucking beautiful faces in all of our glory. Alex Trias is naked right now. Lauren Pratt. Actually, no, we're not.
Thank gosh.
But yeah, I do see your fucking weights in the background that you're.
There we go.
Here we go. Yes. So, yeah.
If you'd like to order that, go to V Shadow Gallery on Instagram. So she's pretty fucking awesome.
Killer, dude.
Right?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Anyway,
it's awesome.
I appreciate that plug there.
Fuck yeah, V Shadow Gallery.
Yeah. Can you guys tell that we're not in a hurry to do the fucking Survivor Tribe 2?
No, I'm ready, man.
Okay, well that makes Alex. I'm about to tag you in.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Sydney Siegel.
Oh, I know about her. We talked about her a fair bit during the draft. Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like Lauren should be on this.
Well, Lauren already did one. I don't want it. Like I don't want Lauren to have to recycle her material.
I can bring new, fresh material. Guiding that whole draft that Elaine didn't know what a snake draft was.
Well, before we get back into the finale of this podcast, Johnny kind of looks like the guy from Nickelback. That's pretty
funny. Man, I feel bad that we're going to have to block No Hype Network for the rest of the fucking podcast history. That's so weird. All right. So, deliberation. Huey explodes, and so we're going into the lair, and so Logan and Anise are compromised. The guys choose Gabo, and then TJ goes, "Whoa, I never said the women were safe." Mm-hmm. and is like, holy shit. And he's like, and I'm sitting there going, that reminds me of Johnny Fairplay at the club. Then I'm just like, and that reminds me of Johnny Fairplay at the soccer field. Just the soccer moms. The kids are fine. Just want to clarify. So the women are safe, and it's time for Gabo versus Logan 1-on-1. And Gabo is a little worried because there is a puzzle aspect to this, and his IQ is low, but his EQ is high. Mm-hmm. Not the letters he was looking for. I'm not sure what letters he was looking for.
I don't know.
I still don't think he knows to this day what he was looking for.
I don't either.
Well, I think I know what he's looking for. The answer key to that puzzle I'm guessing he wasn't that close.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Like, he probably thought he was close, but they looked like they had a bunch of pieces that were like similar to each other. So he could have just like easily mistaken, just put all of them in the wrong place. He put stuff on the board, at least.
He did put stuff, and he did pray to, because I thought I heard him say it, and then I was just like, did I just hear? Yes, yeah. He did pray to Mike the situation.
Yes.
You know what? What a fitting way for him to go out. He goes in, talking about how he loves Jersey Shore. He goes out talking about he's praying to Jersey Shore.
Well, I mean, I feel that's what you get when you pray to the situation. That's the outcome of your situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, real challenge, though, in the sense of like just how much you have to like do climbing.
And Gabo just kept like Gabo still had no problem going up.
Did you see his like they're not popcorn muscles? I think he doesn't even realize that they're not popcorn muscles.
I don't think he knows what popcorn muscles means.
Like, he thinks he's not.
You know what? He potentially entered the house of popcorn muscles, but I think all he's done is work out since he's been there.
Mm-hmm. That could be true.
I just think he's always been strong, but just dumb and not understanding that he's actually strong.
I think that's definitely a possibility. So Logan wins barely, kinda. I don't know.
Hard to tell.
And but we get to finish with a pump Gabo flex. Mm-hmm. And I was here for that. If Gabo wants me to make a T-shirt, I am for it all fucking day long. So.
You have to give props to him because it seemed as though the whole cast really enjoyed him because they were asking for that. And a lot of the times when people leave, they're like, see you never. But with him, they seem to enjoy him.
And DJ said he hopes to see him there again.
Yeah. So I do too. I'm with them. So Logan gets a chance to steal, and he takes Nani. And oh, was Huey furious? Just a snake in the shadows. Just this ridiculous hyperbole with life.
I just love it. You're just like, how did I not expect they would also want to take the most experienced person in the house that has connections? Oh, no.
It's now Huey. Emmy's fourth partner is now Huey.
And she's already ready for her fifth.
Well, you know what? What did Corey had six partners last season, and he ran the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. He finished second too, right?
Yeah, maybe she's on a Corey trajectory.
Yeah,
maybe her and Corey end up being partners later on. They make a final together. You never know.
Well, you know what? That would give us Corey content, and we got none of it tonight. So.
I am so every commercial leading into the season was so Corey centric.
I know.
Maybe the second half of the season's his, and they're just like, you know, but come on, man. I mean, Corey's a stud. He's mm-hmm. he's likable. Mm-hmm. He's funny. Like I feel like his challenge character has evolved to, like, I feel like he's like nearing elite status.
I agree.
But we've seen nothing.
Is he the one is he partnered with Priscilla?
No, that's Nelson. He's with Bettina.
That's why, because he's with Bettina. Like, it's either if you're with Priscilla or Bettina, we haven't seen too much recently.
Well, we've seen Nelson.
Kind of. I mean, we didn't see much of him tonight either.
Yeah, just a little. So I don't know. I mean, I, as I said, I think this is one of those service episodes, and they're necessary for the, you know, for the story. But I thought last week was so much more exciting, and fucking hopefully next week is the fight that we anticipated this week, that that happens next week, or if not the week after. But I am ready for Josh, and it seems like Esther's in the middle of this.
It looks like she's throwing some drinks at Amber.
I'm for it. I'm
always here for drama.
Yeah,
100%.
Came to see.
But I'm with you. As a newbie viewer, I was kind of like, I felt myself, my son was playing acoustic guitar out there, and I was like fading in and out during certain scenes. The challenges were not as entertaining for me and intense as previous episodes. So I think overall it was a blah episode in relation to what we've seen prior. Jumping off cliffs and upside down and fucking really gnarly physical things, you know what I'm saying? So
but, we saw someone removed from the game, and it still wasn't a crazy episode. Yeah, I mean, no, it was Anissa.
You know what, Matt? I think you're gonna enjoy the challenge next episode because you see a bunch of people just hanging off of hoods of cars.
There you go.
I'm all for it, you guys. So thank you for fucking tuning into this shit. No Hype Network leaving fucking. You know, what I like to see you guys seriously is like engagement on what we are doing, because for me, it's fun seeing, you know, we live stream this shit. Cause a lot of times we do stuff for our Patreon group, which is like pre-recorded. It's unlisted only for the patrons. So if you guys
at adfreensfw.com. It is our best content because
it is the most. Yeah. So like, if you want to be a patron and support what we're doing, we do a lot of shit. So, it's super fun, but yeah, thank you guys for the engagement. It really makes it fucking fun, especially for me just to be able to like see the comments. We're seeing them all come in as we're doing this. We post some of them. We don't post all of them. But cheers you guys, the challenge. And Survivor's coming up. We got a viewing party. Johnny, where can you get tickets for our 41 premiere party?
Yeah, season 41 of Survivor after a one-year hiatus. It's back. We're going to be at Play Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. Get tickets at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. That's Wednesday, September 22nd. October 6th, I am going to be in Durham, North Carolina at Dirty Bowl Brewing. Tickets available for that at SurvivorAfterHours.com. And as far as content goes, this might be the most loaded week in the history of reality and SFW ever. On the Patreon side at AdFreeNSFW.com, we of course did our Q&A. We still have coming up our coverage of 2018 Australian Survivor. But on the free side at RealityNSFW and YouTube.com/RealityNSFW.com, or no, YouTube.com/RealityNSFW. On that side, we had the cast assessment with Lauren and Cody and Elaine Stott from the season between 38 and 40 of Survivor. And who was your fourth?
Denny.
Okay. And that was a super fun episode, viewing and listening. Also, Reality NSFW Rewind. You guys did two episodes with Professor Tim of Survivor Marquesas. You guys are going to be on a brief hiatus there for a little bit, and you're going to wrap up with the finale, and then you're moving on to Survivor Pearl Islands, rumor and innuendo, don't know if it's true. And also, as we were doing this, we had Big Brother coverage with Brent Wolgamott and Bobby Goodsby, which has been amazing all season. I have not watched the season. I just watch the podcast every week. Like, everything I need to know about Big Brother, like, I know for a fact Brent and Bobby are more entertaining than what I'm missing. And like, because they're, oh, it's its own presentation, and it's incredible. And then tonight after this, me and Matt, and we may be joined by others, we are covering our second tribe, the Blue Tribe from season 41 of Survivor. And that girl right there, holy moly. that will be right after this. Wow, that is a ton of coverage. I mean, like, is that the most we've ever dropped in 1 week?
I would say probably yes.
I think so. I think it is.
Yeah. We have dropped more episodes this week than Anise has done the challenge.
Boom.
Bam. Count it. All right. And with that,
13 more.
Yeah, still 13. Hey, 13 more episodes. Here we go. All right. So we have a last word from our sponsors. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Matt. And we will see a lot of you in a few minutes when we talk Survivor Season 41 Blue Tribe cast assessment right after this. Thank you. And hey, become a patron at freensfw.com.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Bye.